Fragments. November 19, 1911. Typed. Our ministers and teachers and physicians should not fail to be God's true missionaries. They are to work earnestly for the conversion of sinners. One important means of proclaiming the message for this time is the distribution of our literature. Those who engage in this work are to give evidence of their faith and courage. They can, in all sincerity, present our books and papers as of great value, for they contain the principles of saving truth. Those connected with our institutions should act their part in the distribution of literature. If a worker's duties take him into the homes of the people, let him take our books with him and leave one in each family. Much of this kind of labor was done in the earlier history of our work. Let not our ministers think that it would belittle his work to present our publications. Especially should all connected with our sanitariums remember that in order to represent aright the value of our medical institutions, they must have in their lives the effective grace of Bible truth. Let them remember that all trifling is cheap and that the power of speech is a precious gift to be used to the glory of God. If a man is wearing the yoke of Christ, he will show it by his pure speech. Less cheap, common conversation should be heard, for we are preparing for a holy heaven. We need the power of pure speech to clothe the message of truth with a sacred beauty. We need to learn how to carry messages of peace and comfort to the needy and suffering. There needs to be a close searching of the scriptures. There is no time for spiritual sleepiness. Every day, ministers and people should be increasing in spiritual power, becoming more and more heavenly minded. Those connected with our institutions should place a strict watch on word and deed so that the enemy shall be given no cause to triumph. Our ministers and physicians, the guardians of the spiritually and physically sick, are to be men and women of prayer and faith. They are always to remember that they are to make their work a means of leading souls to Christ, or they are opening doors for the entrance of the enemy. God's purpose for our institutions is that they shall be beacons of light in a world of darkness. Let those connected with them feel their need of a closer walk with God. Let them remember that by a careless word or act, they may bring spiritual harm to another. The Lord is soon to come, and I am bidden to charge the leaders in our work to exert an influence that will lead souls to the cross. Those in our schools, our publishing houses, our sanitariums should never allow themselves to lose the consciousness that they are Christ's ambassadors. They are to watch unto prayer. Once more, I charge our ministers and physicians and others in positions of responsibility to be much with the Lord in prayer. Let your words be such as God can approve. Remember that you cannot have success in the work of the Lord without putting to the stretch every spiritual sinew and muscle. God holds you accountable for the impression you make on other minds. The Lord calls upon you to examine the heart closely. He calls upon you to adorn the truth you profess. He calls upon you to sound the note of warning, for the day of woe and wasting is upon us. With special severity will the Lord's hand fall upon those watchmen who have failed to place before the people their obligations to Him. I appeal to our church members to make God their trust, to stand firm for His truth apart from every contaminating influence. God's word needs men of understanding who do not allow temptation to lead them to deviate from true principles. A living faith is obedience in action. The heart is to go out toward God, seeing the excellence of Christ and realizing the sufficiency of His grace. Thus men and women become changed into His likeness. Wake up, church members. Wake up to the responsibilities entrusted to you. Truth is a sacred thing, and we must live the truth, for we are to be light bearers to the world. You and I are God's workmen, pledged to engage with heart and hand in His service
to do his work with such earnest determination that souls will be converted. Our faith is to make us living epistles, known and read of all men. It is to control the conduct and sanctify the life. It leads a man to consecrate his strength, his children, his property to the wishes and service of Christ. God is calling for men who live by faith in the Son of God.
We must throw ourselves with more earnestness into the work of giving the truth to those in the cities. For years, the Lord has been calling our attention to this work, and had our ministers, teachers, and physicians allowed themselves to be guided by the Lord, thousands would now be rejoicing in a knowledge of the truth. Satan has stolen a march upon us. For many years, this work has been urged upon our ministers, and in neglecting it, they have made a mistake that means much to our cause. Satan has employed all his powers to block the way with hindrances of different kinds. He leads ministers to dwell on subjects that are not essential to salvation. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now God had brought Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs, Daniel 1, verse 8-9. It is rather remarkable that these youth showed so much decision. Their age when taken captive is not specified, but it is supposed that they were about 16 or 17 years of age. There is a lesson for parents to learn from this record: the simplicity of bearing, the truthfulness, the steadfastness, and the integrity of these four youth bear testimony to the value of home training. They realized that the love of God and the fear to depart from evil were essential for their present and future success. In the home, the truth of God had been enjoined on mind and heart. And when the time came that they were placed in unfavorable surroundings, they united in the determination to follow a course that would preserve mental, spiritual, and physical efficiency. The Lord's work is to be carried on, and we are to seek Him most earnestly for help, for the powers of darkness have begun to demonstrate their strength. Our only hope is in the power of God. In the Church of God, there is to be no harshness, no overbearing, no desire to compel men and women to follow human devisings. No human being is to take up the work of compelling and denouncing. One thing I marked, brethren: Daniels and Prescott represented a large company who were repeating the words of the 103rd, 104th, 105th, 106th, and 107th Psalms. This company continued to increase in numbers until there was a multitude. Strange things happened, and one by one, the company passed through a very narrow gate. Through this gate, no one could take even the lightest burden. Some, who were not willing to relinquish their idols, were left behind. The Lord speaks to His people through chosen men who have had a lifelong experience in His work. These aged workers have been tried and tested, and their experience is to be highly prized. Young, inexperienced ministers should not be placed before the pioneers of the message. They are not to be given the work of addressing the large congregations who gather at our camp meetings, while men with their hearts burning with the message sit silent. The Lord will work with those who are trying to carry out His will. Our last efforts will soon have to be made, and we are to labor with a deep, abiding consciousness of this. The religion of Christ is a religion that is appropriate for all times and places. Those who walk humbly with God are laying hold upon divine realities. The gospel is the storehouse from which the saints obtain spiritual food. Every worker for God needs a humble mind and a faith that takes God at His word. We are living in the great day of atonement. John did not receive his education in the schools of the rabbis. He was a son of Zebedee, a Galilean, and like his father, was a fisherman. The Savior said to him, "Follow me," and without hesitation, John obeyed the call. Matthew 4, verse 19 to 22. It is John who writes, "In the beginning." comprehended it not. John 1, verse 1 to 5. A formal, lifeless religion is often seen. The word given in the book of Esther shows the way in which the Lord counterworks the efforts of Satan. We cannot always discern the whys and wherefores of the Lord's working. We know that Satan and his agencies are constantly seeking to thwart the Lord's purposes. The all-sufficiency of the powerful authority should attend them in their labors. What is our work? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And our assurance of success? Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end. Matthew 28, verse 20. Verily, this is enough for us to rely upon. Some acts of some of the 12, as well as of the Apostle Paul, after Christ's crucifixion, the disciples met in an upper chamber, in which Jesus had met with his disciples for the Last Supper, and where they had seen Christ after his resurrection. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Take these words by faith. It is God who sends the assurance.